Welcome to the Second Mom's Circle. I'm Dawn Baggett, your host, and as an adoptive mom myself and a post-adoption mom coach, I want you to feel welcome here as this is a safe space for you, adoptive moms who are maybe finding yourself in the gap. What is the gap? Well, the gap is something that I identified not only in my own life and my own family, but also in many, many others. And it happens that as adoptive moms, we often find ourselves in a gap with inadequate or even almost non-existent support and ineffective support in our roles as adoptive mom. It kind of feels like the rug is just pulled out from under you sometimes. So if that's something that you can relate to, let's dive in. Because I can. I vividly remember those words coming from my teenage daughter as I questioned her about her motivation for something she'd done. Not the words of someone who is open to a reflective dialogue or reasoned conversation. And that was that. It took me a while longer to get out of the trees that kept me from viewing the forest, which in this case was a power struggle within a larger war for control that was being waged against me. A war that I hadn't even signed up for. Perhaps you're fighting in your own power war at home or trying to stay out of one. I can help you. On today's episode, I am making a bold claim that you, sweet mom, can all but eliminate power struggles in your post-adoptive household. When you shift from parent-imposed consequences to personal boundaries. Power struggles within families are nothing new. They can almost seem like the baseline standard, however, in some post-adoptive families, rather than an occasional episode that's outside everyone's comfort zone. So how do you keep power struggles from becoming a way of life in your post-adoptive family? And how does a power struggle differ from other types of conflicts and differences of opinion? Well, power struggles are like a game of tug of war, where both sides are pulling on the rope, on their end of the rope, neither side willing to let go and let the other side win. Power struggles always have winners and losers. And it's our job as parents to avoid that type of conflict in the first place so that we can position ourselves on the same side of the rope and never as an opponent on the opposing side or end of the rope from our child. Now, you may be nodding your head and thinking to yourself, yeah, this can be easier said than done, and I agree. You may have your own reasons for thinking easier said than done, and here's a few that I came up with. See if any of these ring true in your life and in your household. Your child or your teen actively resists the idea that you're on his or her side. So instead of welcoming you on their side, they actively resist it. Number two, others, like their siblings and friends, are affected. So it's not just you and them. Professionals, therapists, or teachers, for instance, undermine your role as parent. So again, it's not just between you and your child. And how about this one? Your husband actively takes their side or passively refuses to join you in working through the issue in a unified way. Now, as I said, you may come up with more reasons that it's easier said than done. You know, we might have thought that as long as the parent, the mom, resists positioning and avoids positioning herself and her child in a power struggle, that the child would happily and naturally want to have mom on their side. And that can be the picture presented to us that, well, there must be something else going on if the child doesn't want to have you on their side, even when you say you want to be on their side, right? That might be something that we're getting from our spouse or our in-laws or other professionals, counselors, therapists, whatever. And so they look at you like there must be something, you know, that's something more. And there is something more, but it's not like necessarily on your side, right? It's not always the case that your child is happily and naturally wanting to have you on their side, if that can be possible, and if you're willing. And so now you may be beginning already to recognize that your child, your teen, seems to intentionally turn things into power struggles with you and do it frequently, even things that you wouldn't have imagined would even be any kind of a conflict. I find that many parents, especially moms, are pulled into this scenario of constant power struggles in our post-adoptive families. Now, this can be dads as well, not just moms, but we're pulled into this constant push-pull of power struggles. And you may get bewildered and just ask, how did this happen? How did we get here? So I think it happens like this. And I've broken this down into levels. Level one, you take your parenting responsibilities seriously. Of course you do. And as you attempt to manage a situation, it signals to one of your kids that you're attempting to control them. Not just manage the situation, but control them. Alarms go off in their brain that says this is dangerous, that tells them they must not allow you to have control over them. You are a mom, and their past experiences have wired their brains to signal to this type of danger. That's level one. Level two, you've had a pattern now of power struggles with this kid, and now as a teen, their hormones and an increased invincibility factor has given them a burst of belief in their ability to overpower you. Power struggles can quickly escalate to danger level at this level two. Now, level three, I hope none of you are there at level three, but if you are, you'll recognize it. And if you're not, it's good to have it on your radar and realize that this might be where you're headed. Maybe, maybe not. But level three, your house is upside down and you've lost any semblance of authority or control. Your teen or even your young adult son or daughter is calling all the shots. And you always, always fear for your safety and the safety of others in your home. You just want them to leave. At 18, maybe that's coming up, or older. But you can't make them. You know you can't make them. Or they aren't yet adult-aged, and you're searching for someplace else they can live until they reach that magic age of, you know, 18 or 19, whatever it is, or wherever they can live away from you independently, because you can't keep going like this. At this level, level three, you may be looking at things like Job Corps, residential treatment centers, boarding school options, things you never would have imagined or dreamed of in your family plan. It's important now, whether you're at level one, two, three, in between levels, You can see that it's important to recognize when a power struggle is forming, is threatening to form, so that you can intentionally position yourself on the side of your child versus the opposing side, no matter how intently they seem to be on making you take on the role of opponent. So when you think about those different levels and you think about where you are now, it's kind of eye-opening, I think, to recognize this, the importance of noticing and recognizing power struggles for what they are. And by doing this over and over again, for getting in front of the power struggle, you do it again and again, and you position yourself on the side of your child again and again. This can help form a new pattern where instead of the role of opponent, you establish yourself in the role of your choosing, taking back your power rather than just allowing yourself to be cast in whatever role someone else wants to cast you in, villain or what have you. You determine your role, such as the caring and loving parent who's always, always for them, never against them. Now, maybe you've tried. That's how you want to see yourself. You've told them that, but they've resisted you in that role, in that loving parent role. So in actively choosing to avoid power struggles, I hope you can see now that you demonstrate to them and yourself that you've made the choice not to be their opponent, that you're standing on your choice, that they cannot change that. This is something you control. They can control their choices, but you have control over yours. It can be very counterintuitive when you don't understand the underlying dynamics, especially when it comes to severe attachment challenges. Attachment disorders and attachment and trauma, these things are related. So a lot of this is due to past traumas and triggers that from a time in your child's life before you were even in their lives have wired their brains a certain way. And a lot of this brain rewiring can be needed, and that takes time. That's a process. So this, what I'm talking about today, this power struggle repositioning of yourself, this is one way that you can take the power and the influence that has been given to you and use it to help your child and your family, and also to help yourself. Help yourself. If you realize that you're already in this situation, what can you do now about not only preventing power struggles, but getting out of the ones that are already going on and have already taken root inside your family dynamics? I don't pretend to have a magic wand. It's happened in my family too. And your chosen role may be rejected and continue to be rejected. But wherever you've recognized this power struggle dynamic, as I have, I want you to know that you have the option to let go of the proverbial rope and release the tension, at least from your side. What that looks like and feels like will differ with your situation. Your release of the power struggle dynamic and the tension of the power struggle may include different things. It may include things like reframing. Reframing can sound like, hey, I know it seems like we've been in opposite sides of this issue, but I want you to know that whatever choice you make, I still love you. It may include things like forgiveness, stepping aside, distancing, setting clear boundaries, faith over fear, communicating clear choice options. It may include strategies like delegation and diffusion, so your position of authority doesn't seem as threatening. Boundary setting versus imposed forced consequences. So this is a topic I want to land on just for briefly today in today's episode. Personal boundaries are all about what's rightly under our control and not about controlling the other person. So this may be different than what you have thought about boundaries in the past. But this prayerful and careful boundary setting helps us, moms, as we present choices. And also when those choices are made, we know how we'll respond. If we give our child two choices, for instance, whichever choice he makes, we know how we'll respond because we've already decided based on our boundary. So here's an example to help wrap your brain around what I'm talking about here. You may tell your child, you have two choices. Wash your hands so you can eat dinner safely with clean hands. Or don't wash your hands and I will help you stay safe by putting away your dinner. Your choice. In this example, you aren't reacting or controlling him. You've built in your responses so you know your next step, whichever choice he makes. This preserves an element of control for your child, which our children need, without giving them control over you and without setting up a power struggle. Now, you're not trying to convince him to like or agree with you or with your boundary. So what's the boundary here? You could hear it in the example. The boundary in this example is, I will establish and maintain healthy eating practices when serving meals, as is my responsibility as mom. So did you hear that boundary kind of implied in the example of what we said? Go back and listen again if you want to, and listen for the boundary. And listen for the built-in responses so that you know what your next step will be, whichever choice he makes. You, mom, recognizing the problem of power struggles, is a huge, huge step of awareness. And as you step back from the trees and you look at the forest and assess the problem and you see where your power struggles are, what the issues are on the surface, and you look beneath that or behind that to see what's driving those power struggles, you see that they're more than just the surface level. And you can begin to create a strategy to essentially drop the rope and let go of the power struggle, and then to reframe what's happening around those issues and others where power struggles could erupt, so that you position yourself and your child or your spouse or whomever as being on the same side, holding the same end of the rope. And the more you do this, the more practice that you have with this shift and this way of looking at these things and making sure that you avoid a power struggle, the more skilled you'll get and the more skilled you'll become and the more it will become a pattern, a new pattern. Sometimes, just as in tug of war, those on the other side of the rope may overpower you because they have more people and more weight on their side of the rope. They may get a person who has a lot of weight, a lot of leverage or power, and a lot of pull to team up with in pulling against you. But they can't make you pick up that rope. They can't make you be their opponent. So you take back your power. You have the power to position yourself. They don't have the power to make you their opponent. If you're ready to put away the bulk of the power struggles in your post-adoptive family or your own awareness, assessment, and personal boundary setting, as I've described, let me say that again, I said that wrong. If you're ready to put away the bulk of the power struggles, then your own awareness, assessment, and personal boundary setting, like I've described, can be a huge, huge start in making that happen. And you can start that today. Go back and re-listen to this episode. Let this be a jumping off point for you. But this is also something I can work on with you in coaching, if that's something you'd like to do. So that's all I have for you today on today's episode. And this is the end of my series on the three unilateral shifts that you can make as an adoptive mom to transform destructive post-adoption patterns into more effectively protective patterns for yourself and the rest of your family. I hope it blesses you. Thank you for listening to this episode of Second Mom's Circle. You can read the companion blog post and more at the website at dawnbaggett.com. Also, please leave a review and follow the podcast if you found this valuable. I'm Dawn Baggett, and as always, keep learning, keep growing, and keep loving.